hasn't got a lot of attention, but violence against nurses and hospital workers has been climbing steadily over the years. The U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics says since 2011, there's been a 60% increase in the rate of attacks against healthcare workers. It also says the risk of being injured by violence is five times greater for healthcare workers than employees in any other private sector industry. According to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, medical facilities that are often flush with cash are failing to address the problem. The findings are detailed in their ongoing series called In the Shadows. You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Are you a doctor, nurse, or other hospital worker? How worried are you about the risk of being physically attacked while at the workplace? Has an uptick in violence caused you to reconsider a career at a medical facility? What kind of safety and security changes have been made or would you like to see made? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Raquel Rutledge and John Diedrich are investigative reporters at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Raquel, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
And John, thanks for being with us again.
Thanks for having us.
Raquel, I mentioned just a couple of the statistics there. Can you talk more about how sadly common these kind of attacks against hospital workers can be?
Well, you know, as you said, it is healthcare workers are five times more likely to get assaulted while at work than any other. I mean, they're right up there actually with police officers and security guards that are public sector workers. But yeah, it's surprising to me. It's one of those things that I guess if you're in the industry, if you work as a nurse or a doctor and you're living it every day or you have family members who are, you might not be as surprised. But from someone who, you know, kind of coming from the outside, it's very shocking. I mean, and it started with the death of Carly Bowden in Milwaukee, who was leaving her job, you know, at 1 o'clock in the morning and was attacked by somebody who had been hanging out around the hospital for 2.5 hours and was undetected by security. So that's what got us looking into this in the first place.
And John, another story you focused on, you talked to a nurse at a Frederick Hospital in Wauwatosa, attacked during the summer while checking on a patient. Can you share that story with us?
Yeah, that's right. We had a nurse who was checking out a patient, a 24-year-old woman who came in to do what she typically does and was sexually assaulted by this patient. And the thing about the attack, as shocking as it was and that how common these are, was the response from the hospital, from Frederick, just in terms of how they investigated or, you know, failed to act quickly would be more appropriate. And just in terms of the follow-up and the lack of response. And in terms of this isn't just a Frederick issue, we're seeing this across the country where these attacks happen. And nurses and doctors are really out on the edge. People that we're counting on in the pandemic, as we're all aware, and they've been subjected to this for a long time. And hospitals, in that case and others, failed to investigate and failed to take actions, really, most importantly, to prevent these.
And the stories you both just shared involve common sites of attack for healthcare workers. And Raquel, let's start with the one you shared about parking garages. This is not unique. You point out in your piece on this that you have staff, you know, doing shifts that bring them out of their shifts at all or into all hours of the day. Talk about this parking garage at health facility risk.
Yeah, well, when we first wrote the story about Carly Bowden getting beaten to death out in the parking garage, we got hundreds, I mean, literally hundreds and hundreds of responses from healthcare workers around the world who said they face the same thing, which is that they're, you know, they're often forced to park in faraway lots and they're very dimly lit oftentimes. And they don't have security guards out there. Often they're empty lots that don't have proper cameras. And a lot of times, you know, people think when they see the cameras that, oh, there's somebody behind the screen monitoring. So it kind of gives you a false sense of security, because what we found is that for the most part, those cameras are not monitored in real time. So, for example, in the case of Carly Bowden, the attack on her lasted for 6 minutes. I mean, she was just brutally beaten to death, and that whole thing was on camera. But there was nobody monitoring the cameras. So these parking garages have proven to be, over the decades, we interviewed a woman from Chicago who was walking after her shift back to her car and got held up at knife point, thrown in her car, raped in her car, and then thrown into her trunk. and was locked in her trunk for 9 hours before being noticed by somebody. She was screaming in the back when the next shift came in the next morning. So, and that was in the 1970s. So we've interviewed people over the decades, and this problem just continues.
We are talking about risks of assault faced by healthcare workers at hospitals. Raquel Rutledge and John Diedrich with us from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. They have an ongoing series on that issue. John, Raquel just talked about parking structures. Talk about your story illustrated the risk that a nurse, say, or other healthcare provider might face dealing with patients one-on-one. How common is that kind of attack?
Well, if you look again at the number of attacks, it's just astonishing. We referenced the number at the beginning, but this is a risk area that I had no idea how at risk health workers are, and that these attacks happen. We spoke to one nurse at a ER in Massachusetts, and he said typically 5 to 6 times per shift, somebody on the staff, on the ER staff, is being assaulted in some way. I documented the story and spoke to Jessica Rosing. She was an ICU nurse at St. Luke's in Milwaukee. And what she shows, what she demonstrates and her story demonstrates is that this doesn't just happen in the ER. She was attacked by a patient and a syringe was taken out of her hand and put to her neck by this patient. And her shoulder was wrenched. And as it turns out, that particular injury drove her from nursing. She felt like she could no longer safely be in nursing. And she became an advocate, really, and just started to become a clearinghouse, if you will, for other nurses telling her about what was happening. The level of violence was just astonishing. And I think if you just look at the number of stories, and we continue to see just huge numbers of stories and people sending us. We had a collage. It's difficult to look at. I'll just warn people, but it's of all these injuries that nurses and other health workers have suffered across the country. And there are many more stories that we continue to hear. But sadly, it's a very, very common phenomenon where nurses and health workers are attacked both physically and verbally by patients and their families.
In your piece, Raquel, the two of you and your colleagues lay out the problems, but also point out there are a lot of potential solutions out there. Let's start with some of the security issues you raised in the parking ramps and elsewhere. What kind of changes do security experts say can make a big difference for those kind of attacks?
Well, in the parking areas, the big things are lighting, you know, having adequate lighting. We went out and tested, we hired a consultant to come in from Florida and test some of the hospital parking garages around Milwaukee. And he found that every single one of them had, serious security shortcomings. And one of the things is lighting. So lighting, dimly lit places are definitely, can harbor people that are up to no good. And so lighting's one. Cameras, actually having them monitored or having sophisticated software for cameras that can sort of detect folks that are, acting erratically. That could help. Escorts out. One of the things we heard from nurses around the world, really, is that, the hospitals will say, well, we have an escort program and we can walk people to their cars or we can shuttle you to your car. But what we found time and time again is that they're not efficient. They're not practical. Like, actually, if you do want an escort out to your car, oftentimes you have to wait 20 or 30 minutes. And after you've been working for 12 hours, these nurses and others are tired and they don't want to be waiting in the middle of the night for 20 or 30 minutes to get a ride to their car. So often they just risk it. So having actually feasible type escort programs can be helpful. Putting actual alarms that work on your badges that are connected to a real live person that can locate where you are if you have an emergency. Those things help. So for parking, those are the big ones.
And John, another commonly raised concern for those attacks inside a clinic, a hospital, short staffing. What kind of things did you hear from people?
Well, this is actually the way hospitals have been operating for a long time. And this is, as they looked at the sort of like just-in-time staffing, just enough staffing to get by. So there's different phrases for it. But this level of staffing that hospitals have built into the system to, to put it no other way, to maximize profits on certain procedures. What that does is put nurses and other workers at risk because simply sometimes the numbers, it's a number situation. The gentleman that the nurse that I was telling you about from Massachusetts, he's describing attacks 5 or 6 times a shift. And literally being outnumbered, you know, in an attack or outmanned, if you will, where he was really felt like he was possibly fighting for his life, and that he had a very hostile patient who was trying to potentially, he was getting in a fight where he potentially could have disarmed an armed police officer who was there. So when we're looking at that, those numbers make a big difference. And just in terms of, that's a big one that nurses told us, that they said just coming into a room and just being alone with a patient, if there is any indication that patient has been violent in the past, another shortcoming, the lack of that kind of warning system. But with that warning, if you don't have the staff to come in, it doesn't really matter. But if you have additional staff to help, it makes a huge difference.
Well, and just to back that up a little bit, the studies do show. So, for example, California put a cap on the patient to staff ratio. And in the 5 years following that, studies show that it decreased overall violence in hospitals by 30%. Overall injuries to nurses, let me be clear on that. Actually, overall injuries went down. And studies have shown even back as far as 1999 that show that when you have a higher level of staff to patient ratio, that the violence does decrease. So it's proven to be effective.
We're talking about a rise in violence against nurses and other hospital workers with Raquel Rutledge and John Dietrich, investigative reporters with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. They've been writing about the problem and solutions that are out there. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. If you work in healthcare, is this a concern for you about your safety while on the job? What could your workplace do to make you feel more safe? Have you seen new security measures, safety measures in the clinic or hospital where you work? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking about the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel series called In the Shadows, looking at the rise in violence against nurses and other hospital workers and the failure by facilities nationwide to tackle the problem. Investigative reporters Raquel Rutledge and John Diedrich, stay with us. You can join in at 800-642-1234 if you have questions for our guest or a personal experience or observation to share from maybe working at a hospital yourself. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Raquel, I guess a basic question here. Why do we see healthcare workers so disproportionately targeted by violent attacks?
Well, I mean, they're dealing with a clientele that oftentimes is under, you know, major stress. They're dealing with people that have substance and alcohol and substance use disorders, mental health disorders, people that are just under a large amount of stress, violence. Some people are coming in either violently ill or, you know, are victims of violence, and the violence sometimes spills over and follows them in. So they're dealing with, you know, unusual circumstances that the rest of us don't face. And so that's where, you know, that's where they need this added protection, because it isn't like most other places. They're open to the public basically 24/7. And so you get all sorts of people coming in at all hours.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Tim is on the line in Middleton. Tim, hello.
Hi. I had some questions for the investigative reporters. As a nurse myself, I've been attacked in ICUs and ERs throughout my career, and I was wondering if they were thinking about it, doing anything like what the U.S. military is doing now, where instead of having them do internal investigations, they're actually starting to call the actual police to do the investigation rather than the internal, and if they've been bringing up any of the issues with OSHA for not providing safe workplaces. Nothing like coming off the air.
Yeah, I mean, those are great questions. As far as calling the outside police, I mean, they do that. But what we heard time and time again is that their employers often discourage that. They discourage them from reporting it. They just it's sort of the culture is, you know, it's just part of the job. This is, it just happens. This is we just accept it and move on. And so there's a bit of a pressure and a culture to not report these crimes. And then secondly, as far as OSHA goes, that's, you know, that was one of our findings in our original story was that, you know, OSHA does very little in terms of this. There is a bill pending. It's stalled out in the Senate that was it was passed last November. And it would require OSHA to have a standard, a mandate that would require healthcare facilities to have workplace violence prevention programs, because that is not the case right now. So, but that has, that, like I said, it's been stalled for months now. So I spoke with one of the senators from Wisconsin who said that she will be reintroducing it or re-pushing for that at this next session.
Tim, thanks a lot for the call. And John, can you talk some more about you write about these are sometimes healthcare systems with a fair amount of money not making investments in even the simpler security solutions. Why are we seeing that?
Well, if you talk to security consultants, as we did, a number of them, they said, you know, they look at security as being overhead. They don't look at it as being, and it was an interesting comment from Tom Smith, who's been doing this for more than 20 years out of North Carolina. He said when he comes in, he tells the health executives that, you know, I'm going to find all these problems. And that's huge. If you had, you know, like medical equipment, like respirators failing and things like that, you know, that would be a critical issue. But routinely, you're seeing things like as Raquel mentioned, you know, the panic buttons or the monitors not being kept up, or, you know, lighting being insufficient. And then inside, one of the big things that's been discussed is metal detectors, that those have a huge deterrent effect. They catch a surprising number. I guess it's not surprising when you think, as Raquel just mentioned, who's coming into hospitals. Yet a lot of hospitals have resisted this. It's a very small percentage of hospitals that have metal detectors. And part of that comes back to the public relations image consciousness. But when you look at the dollars, as we did, we're talking about multi-millions of dollars in cash that hospitals are sitting on. In some cases, the very large systems, even more than that, hundreds of millions or even more in the largest. That's a ton of money. And a lot of that money is invested in things like infrastructure. That's more about, consumer satisfaction or patient satisfaction, like the foyer and things like this, fine art, literally having, fine china there. And I think hospital workers are rightly asking, where's the priority? What about our safety and some things that are really not that costly that could really protect people?
Talking to John Diedrich and Raquel Rutledge from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel about their series In the Shadows on the risks of assault faced by healthcare workers. Let's bring on another caller now. Kathy is with us in Madison. Kathy, hello.
Why, hello. This was back in 83, but my sister went to be an RN, and her last rotation, she went over 3.5 years. I mean, she's really close to being an RN. She had to do her final rotation in the psych ward, and she's, and she's only 5'3 and 120 pounds, so she's attacked every day, and she almost quit nursing school. So, my three older brothers offered to go up there and take her, be with her when she had to take a rotation, but we're having a shortage of nurses, so if it hasn't changed, something to really look at strongly, because she went on to be a nurse, but she really came close to quitting. So,
Kathy, thanks for sharing your sister's story. Raquel, is this something you're seeing keep people out of healthcare professions or driving them out?
I think it is more driving them out than it is keeping them out, because the folks that we spoke to and the people that teach nursing school, we did speak to one woman who teaches this in her class and says, like, hey, I tell my students the violence they're going to face, and they're just shocked and they can't believe it. But I've interviewed in dozens and dozens of people for this investigation. And by and large, most of the people say it hasn't been taught to them. They weren't expecting it coming in. And so they're not prepared for it. And Yeah, I mean, absolutely. The one person that we spoke to in Massachusetts that was injured in August with his arm got twisted in the stretcher of a patient who was on PCP, and it was kicking and kicking, and his arm got jammed in the side rail of the stretcher, and I mean, just tore a muscle, bruised as it could be, and he wasn't even healed, but he came back to work because it was difficult to pay his bills on workers' comp, and so he came back to work, and that's when he encountered somebody who had a criminal who was coming in, and they weren't forewarned about this criminal who, like, his background at all, and the guy had been indicted on rape charges and had beaten up his father the day before and beaten the family dog, and just, he was a very violent individual, and that person picked up a metal chair and hit him with a metal chair. And I mean, he just said, you know, he's 42 and he has two children, and you know, sometimes he worries that he's not going to go home at the end of the day. So yeah, definitely. He said not one person he works with in the emergency room feels safe coming to work.
John, in our last few moments, is there any sense that these problems are coming out of the shadows? I mean, everybody in healthcare seems to know about them, but not a lot being done about them. Do you get a sense that there's a change in the works?
Well, I mean, I think that one of the things that's being discussed right now, just through, you know, social media and so forth, is that people are coming forth. There's a movement in some of the comments that were posted on this were called Silent No More. And that phrase, as we've seen it show up at various places, is being applied now to this idea of quietly enduring this. Health workers are being, encouraged to step out and say more. And just based on the reaction that we're hearing, I think more and more workers are saying we really need to do something. And I think, we are seeing the public becoming aware. People are shocked and surprised. That's been the response that we've had. But that it's, there are a lot of forces at play here. And I think a lot would need to happen and be known for these things to change. But I think we are seeing that increased awareness.
We'll leave it there. John, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
And Raquel, thanks for being with us today.
Absolutely. Thank you for the interest in the story.
We've been talking to Raquel Rutledge and John Diedrich, investigative reporters at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We talked to them about their ongoing series. It's called In the Shadows. It's about the growing violence against nurses and hospital workers around the nation and possible solutions to that problem.